We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen as Pastor Todd Adams brings a message of truth from God's Word.
You know, we've had a lot of conversation over the years, and then recently. But what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to walk us back to two things. I'd like us to walk us back in time to where you were, number one, and then who you were, okay?
Well, in brief, I can tell you where I was on that day. I had moved to Florida the year before and decided to take a new opportunity here in Florida, so I wanted to go see my parents. So I flew to New York on the 8th of September, spent the weekend with my parents, and then I took the train into New York City to visit friends because my life was spent a lot on Wall Street and in that surrounding area. So I was going to go see friend to friend to friend to friend and arrived downtown on the morning of 9/11, and I went to get coffee. And I decided, because if you're a New Yorker, you don't go see the tourist attractions. You don't go see the Empire State, Statue of Liberty. You don't do those things. You're living life. So I thought this would be a great opportunity to get a cup of coffee and to go up to the top of the tower. I was meeting a friend there on the 15th floor, and I figured I would just let him know, I'm up at the top. Come meet me up there. But it was time when people were getting to work and stuff, and it was a lot of shuffling was going on. So when I got to the elevators, I said, oh, man, it's just going to take me so long switching elevators to get all the way to the top. So when I got on the elevator, instead of going to the top floor of that elevator, I decided to hit 15. And that saved my life.
No rhyme or reason, just hit 15.
I decided I was too lazy to go up to the roof.
One time laziness paid off.
It did pay off, yeah. So
I know from conversations that we've had a little bit about your line of work and what you were doing in that day in particular, but what kind of man were you? Who was Tony Lorenzo then? Because we only know you now, and some of us do. And I mean, I know you, but... Mm-hmm. And I still like you, so.
Still remains to be seen.
Right.
So.
Give it time.
I grew up in the Bronx, New York. And when I became a teenager and then go to college, and after college, I had an idol that was very, very important to me. I came from a poor neighborhood in the Bronx, and I had one great idol, which was money. And I wanted to make it as much as possible and as fast as possible. So what better way to do that was to work on Wall Street. So that's what I did. And I started accomplishing the things I thought were important. And that's what I was doing, but I was an arrogant, very foolish man for many, many years. And every once in a while, still to this day, the arrogant, foolish man still comes out. And Christ was not in my life. I wasn't considering the Lord at all. I grew up in a Catholic home that went to church on Christmas and Easter Sunday. And that's all. And after I made my communion, my father said, from here, you decide. And I was 10. So my decisions were as they were without the Lord.
So you're in New York, you have friends, you have family, you're making coin. Life's good for Tony Lorenzo.
Life's exactly the way I planned it.
Right.
And everything was going fine. Everything was going better than fine. But I started getting a tap on my shoulder. And it was more and more constant, and I knew exactly what the tapping was. It was the Lord wanting to get my attention. I knew exactly what it was, and it wasn't for a day, and it wasn't a week, it wasn't a month, it wasn't a year. It was probably for about a 10-year duration. I refused to answer.
You totally ignored it.
Absolutely, because it's a simple reason. Because I had the life I thought I wanted.
Right.
I had the life I thought was right for me. And if I answered, I had a feeling that would change. So I refused to answer.
So by all intents and purposes, you're happy.
Yes.
Except for this knocking on your heart, this tapping.
Right.
That's kind of getting annoying at this point.
It is getting annoying at this point. And I got married to my first wife in New York, and we decided to move to Florida because I wanted to have a family. And family, the idea of having children was really important to me, and I wanted that. And just having a child in Manhattan, going to Central Park as the only play thing was a bad idea, I thought. So Long Island, Connecticut, upstate, New Jersey, all out. So Florida was the choice. I wanted East Coast, but I lost that battle. I have no idea why, but I ended up on the West Coast. So I ended up in Tampa, Florida, so I can start a family.
And you go back to see your family on September the 8th.
So there's tapping on my shoulder. There's trouble in my marriage. There is no children happening.
Right. The thing that money couldn't give you.
Yeah. So I had everything I thought I wanted except the stuff that was really inside that I knew I really, really wanted. So I kept burying that. Kept moving on with my career, which was doing well all the time, exactly the way I had planned, exactly what I wanted. I had all the stuff that I thought was important. And I went to New York with that tapping on my shoulder. And then I was on the 15th floor of the tower. I had just called here in Tampa, hung up the phone. What I heard was kind of a sound, like a whistling sound, almost like a plane sound. It got loud really quick, and then I heard a loud boom. And it was a hollow boom sound. It wasn't as loud as you would think it would be, but it was loud enough to get my attention. But what did get my attention is a couple of seconds after the boom, the room I was in on 15 swayed to the left, and then swayed back.
What was your first thought?
Again, New Yorker. Loud noise, boom sound, swaying building, 100-story building. It's time to go.
Yeah. Where's the exit?
That's it.
You're not investigating?
No.
Get out.
No need. So I went out into the lobby. Now I was a visitor. I was trying to visit a friend there. So I made this blanket statement to the room. Hey, we got to get out of here. Did you have trays in their hand and some people eating breakfast and stuff? They looked at me, had no idea who I was. I was waiting in my friend's office for him to arrive just to visit with him. So I figured I made that declaration. I'm good. I've done my part. And I'm looking for the... And they go, well, the elevator, no elevator, where's the stairs? So I hit the staircase, and
the lazy thing came back to get you, because now you've got a staircase.
So the funny thing is, when you're in a staircase, you could hear people on the stairs. And the thing that I found odd was I didn't hear anyone. I'm 15, 14, 13. I don't hear anybody. 12, 11, 10... By about the 9th floor, people start coming into the staircase, and it starts to fill up. And as I get closer, it really starts to fill up. Everybody was moving quickly, but everybody was quiet, eerily quiet, but they were just fixed on getting down the stairs. And the big thing I remember about that is when I got to about the second floor is when firemen were already there.
On their way up.
And they were full of gear. And I'm looking at their faces as they're moving up the stairs, and I'm looking in their faces and saying, they just look like a guy, a fireman, just here to do their job. At the time, I had no idea what was happening. I didn't know that they were going to be traveling 80 floors up. They were just firemen doing their job. I figured out later, not too much later, that the faces I still see in my head today are not here.
So you are now in the staircase.
So
you're making your way out.
I get to the main lobby. Everybody's kind of shuffling. It's quiet, eerily quiet, and there's firemen in the building too. I can't go out the spinning doors because there's like big pieces of cement and stuff outside. So I see an emergency door, and there's a woman standing there in a blue suit, and she's shaking. So I walk up to her, and I go, hey, hold on to me, and I'm going to get you out of here. And I wasn't being a hero. I just kept saying to myself, if she starts screaming, I'm going to start screaming. So this is a good idea to grab her. I stuck her head into my chest, holding her head like this, and we pushed out that emergency door that you hit it and it opens. When the emergency door opened, there was a police officer outside, kind of where the wall is, and he was looking at me, and his eyes were this big. And I stared at him, he stared at me, and he went like this, and then he went. And I had no idea what he was doing. And people are starting to pile and push, and I go, wait. And he's like this. And then he calls us out. We all start running out. I run up to him, and I go, what happened? He goes, a plane hit the tower. So I turn around, and I look up, and the whole top of the tower is full of black smoke. And he said, a plane hit the tower. So I'm thinking, already I'm building a case in my head. It must have been a prop, single engine. Something happens to the guy, and he blows into the building. I didn't know it was a commercial airliner at the time. So now I'm trying to call home. People are outside. People don't know what's happening. Everybody's looking up. Everybody's watching. I know the news goes back and forth and back and forth about this particular point, but I got to tell you, I did hear the announcement that the South Tower was clear and everybody can go back to the building.
Wow.
I heard the announcement.
So folks are now trying to go back into the building.
So people are going into the South Tower, the tower that was not hit. They go back and forth all the time on the news saying there was an announcement or wasn't. I heard it. So I'm at this point going, I can't call home. Let me try to get away from the building. So I start walking what is downtown towards Statue of Liberty, and I'm trying to call home, trying to call home, trying to call home. Black smoke is happening. And there's kind of chaos, but it's kind of controlled and somewhat quiet. A lot of firemen, a lot of policemen, a lot of people stopped their cars and got out to look out. But as I was making phone calls, in the distance, I see a plane. And it's getting closer. And I'm not really looking at it. Looked at it once. I look at it again, it's closer. I look at it again, and it's really close. And the thing I found interesting is a plane usually that low, when you see them, the wheels are down. I know it's an interesting thing to kind of note. But they're usually just taken off or getting ready to land, and the wheels are down. And the wheels weren't down. And I thought it was weird. So I looked at it, and it was 1 o'clock in the sky. It was 12 o'clock in the sky. It was 11 o'clock in the sky. And then it just hit the second building and disappeared. It was there, and then it was gone. And then the ball of fire was right over my head. And I started running as fast as I could. downtown kept yelling, go, 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 to everybody and anybody who would listen to me. And I just kept running, thinking, things must be flying down onto the street. I'm just going to keep running until it goes black.
You thought that was the thought. It was over?
That was it. And it's funny, when your mind is running so fast, I was thinking to myself, man, is this going to stink that my parents are going to have to bury me? It's funny what you think.
Yeah. Well, praise God. You're here.
So
you survive.
So I survive, rent a car. I run into people that I know, because I knew a lot of people on Wall Street, and they said, what are you doing here? And I said, I'm at the wrong place at the wrong time. And rented a car and drove back to Florida.
You drove?
We drove back, yeah. Rented a car, drove back. The tapping is still going.
So at this point now, you've had this moment where you know clearly beyond any shadow of a doubt, your life has been spared.
Yes.
There's not a question in your mind about
Correct.
This. And so the tapping's probably
tapping is going,
louder, I would imagine.
Tapping is going, marriage is failing, and now I have this new question as to why. And that's a hard one. Why was I spared when I see those firemen's face? Why were those people taken for no reason? All they did that day was go to work. Why? For what reason?
Tony, were you angry at God?
I was so confused because I'm just a guy. Why was I spared? For what reason? I didn't know. And the tapping continued. And the marriage kept failing. So I was in this spin cycle and spin cycle and spin cycle. And finally, I was here and I got a new job at banking, in the banking business. And I was at a Carrollwood branch while all this is happening and the marriage is failing. I'm thinking it's a great idea to, if I could just have a baby, it could save my marriage.
Right.
And that's the reason why we were here in the first place. And that wasn't happening. And we were going to clinics to get that done and spending money and nothing was happening and nothing was happening. And it was, the tapping was happening and the whys were happening. And I met this woman at the Carrollwood branch. Her name is Joanne. And she was such a good woman, such a kind woman. And every Friday and every Thursday, she used to say every week to me, so what are you doing this weekend? I don't know. Doing this and stuff. I don't know. You know, I go to church at Grace, and we're doing this great thing this weekend. And she would build it up every single weekend. And I would go, yeah, yeah, yeah. Tapping.
Tap,
tapping,
tap, tap.
Tapping. And every single week, she was so good to me because every single week, she would build it up a little bit. Every week. The music, I know you're a musician. You would love it. Why don't you come for the music and then stay? Every week, she would do this to me. Every week. And after a while, I said, you know, maybe I should check this out. Maybe I should see what this is all about. So I asked my first wife, I think we should go to this church and see. And she immediately said, no. No, we're good.
Clearly.
At that point, our marriage was really failing, and I was going to marriage counseling because she was fine. I needed the help. So, and so after many, many times being asked, I woke up one Sunday and said, I'm going to church.
So you, of your own accord, say, that's it.
All alone, I'm going. Joanne's at the 11 o'clock service. I'm going. Maybe I'll see her there, maybe not. I'm going to go and see what this is all about. So I get there, I get in the room, can't find her, but I sit alone up in a balcony. The music starts, and they're singing about the Lord, they're praising God, they're talking about His greatness, and it was so difficult for me to sit there. It got harder and harder. The more I heard them singing about love, the love of the Lord, and the way the Lord loves you back unconditionally, I was having all kinds of trouble just keeping my seat to where I lasted about 15, 20 minutes.
And you bolt.
And I leave. I couldn't stay any. It was just way too much, way overwhelming for me.
Had you ever experienced anything like that?
No.
I mean, you've played in bands, you've traveled, you've been in gigs,
yeah,
you've been
nothing.
In... Nothing. So this is a completely new experience for
Sat
you.
Sat in my car, cried. Don't know why I was crying, but I was crying. Went home, tried to tell my wife what was happening. Didn't really matter. Monday, Joanne goes, how was your weekend? I said, Joanne, I was there. She goes, you should have found me. I said, I looked. It was so big, so much. I said, I only lasted 20 minutes. She goes, 20 minutes? That's fantastic. So come Thursday, there she goes. You know, this weekend we're going to be talking on this. And if you like the music for the 20 minutes, you'll love it this week. So I went. And I lasted the full service this time. Alone. And then I went again. And sometimes I would run into Joanne and sometimes I wouldn't. But I would go every single week by myself saying, This is something that I need. This is something that I really want. This is something that's important. And I went for a while, missed a lot of times, went a lot of times, was confused about the steps, but it really started to become clear that the Lord had something for me.
Now let's do this. Your marriage is a train wreck.
It's a mess.
You go to the doctor and he tells you what?
That we go to a fertility clinic, we spend quite a bit of money. Finally, the doctor, pretty well-known guy in the United States out of Palm Harbor, finally sits us down in the office and says, Tony Lorenzo, it's you. You can't have children. And I said, what? Are you kidding? So it's impossible. I can't have children. He goes, no, it's not impossible, but it's highly improbable that you're going to have children. So the marriage that was failing to begin with was really in a spin because we came to Florida to have a family, and now I failed. So what seemed like on a daily basis, I was being told I failed. So a marriage is now completely dead. But I was going to Grace on a weekly basis, starting to understand what they were feeling, what they were singing about, what was happening, even though it was so elementary to me. I was in the beginning stages of that. But the tapping was still there.
And you question, still have the why.
Why? Every day, why? Why was I saved? Why? At this point now, year and 2 years going, I'm doing speeches on 9/11 to groups and Red Hats and veterans and all these people who are asking me to come and speak about my experience that day and what I witnessed. But I never had the why. And I didn't know the why. So my marriage was done. I was in a new situation. I was going to Grace, and I started meeting people and started learning, and I kept saying to myself, which is funny now to think of it, I really need help in moving along with the Lord. I wish there was like a book I could read. So what also happened to me at that time was a couple of things happened. One was a person at a particular branch that I met. I was divorcing and divorced. She had been the same. So we shared something in common. So at that time, I became friendly with Colleen. She worked at the bank. She was a great worker, and she became a friend. And at the time, I was telling her I was going to Grace. She said I was going to Faith Baptist, and she invited me to come to Faith Baptist. So I came to Faith Baptist Church. At the time, there was probably about 70 people at Faith at the time.
And Pastor Davis was
Pastor
there.
Pastor Davis was here. So we came a couple of times, but I really, really liked the whole wow music scene at Grace. It was really great, you know. I was really into that. And I asked Colleen to go with me to Grace, and she was very kind and said, yes, I'll come with you to Grace. So we used to go to Grace. Bridget was coming with us. She was, you know, coming to church with us every other weekend. And we were going to Grace, and I was trying to figure out my path. And I was trying to figure out my way. And I think Colleen was being very gracious, because I don't know if she was really feeling where we were, but she was doing it for my benefit.
Right.
And it's funny because the Lord puts things and little miracles that you can't do and you can't achieve, and putting her in my life and putting Joanne in my life and putting Bridget in my life with these miracles that
right.
I didn't even see. I didn't even notice.
God was reaching you through all of these things.
But I didn't notice. I didn't notice. Again, the arrogant fool was coming out a lot. And then I started asking, and I've told you this many a time, I started praying, and this is terrible to confess, but I started praying that God would perform a miracle for me. I wanted something big. The arrogant fool asking the Lord. Show me something big. Parting waters, feeding with little, walking water, something. Something big. I needed something, and I wanted something big. So foolish. So even though there were miracles happening in front of me. So my friendship with Colleen evolved.
Clearly
evolved. And
we were still friends.
Yes. And we were going to Grace, and then the Fuqua's were here, Colleen's parents, and I think the Turners were also here too at the time. And she said to me one day, hey, guess what happened? There's a new guy at Faith. Oh, yeah? He's young. He's like 35. Really? Maybe we should check him out. I said, okay, let's go check him out. I'm sure she was really happy that we were just leaving Grace. But so we came to Faith, and we started here. We started at the old building under you. And things started to accelerate. But the tapping was still there. And the why was still there. But at least I felt I was making some progress and I was starting to move forward. I understood, after all, there was a book. So we continued, and I was starting to feel happy in my new life, because certainly my new life was nothing like the life I thought I wanted,
right,
that I felt successful at, that I was doing great. It was nothing like that, nothing like that. But the Lord had a plan for me, and I was just going along with this, not knowing what he was planning. And I got to tell you, deep in my heart, I always wanted children. And I felt so good that Colleen not only allowed me to be with her, but to be with her daughter, Bridget. She was 3 and a half when we met. And I was starting to feel pretty happy, pretty excited, because I always wanted a girl. So we had our life, the three of us, here at Faith. And then
you come to see me.
I come to see you because we decide we're going to get married.
Yes.
And you said that would be great. But
However, cart's in front of the horse here a little bit.
Yes, we were living together, and you said, listen, I need you to do me a favor, and I need you to move out until marriage. And I said yes.
By the way, the look on his face was priceless, but he did say yes.
I did say yes. Talked to the Fuqueys, Peggy and Bob, and they said I could live there. Now, it's really funny because deep in my heart, one thing I always wanted or was jealous of was my brother, because my brother had a wonderful marriage. He had children. He had in-laws that he loved and loved him. And I was always jealous of that, even when I was on Wall Street.
That his in-laws loved him.
That his in-laws loved him.
That is priceless right there. That's very special.
That he had a great relationship with them. I was always jealous of that, always. Always, always, always. So we came to see you, and you said, I would marry you under that condition, and we said, fine. Then,
I remember this.
Then, we're preparing for a wedding. And then, Colleen calls me. I'm in a car with my friend Clint. And Colleen calls me on the phone and says, hey, I need you to come see me at the bank. She was working at the bank at the time. I said, I'm okay. You're right. No, I'm good. I'm good. I just want you to come see me. Please tell me what's happening, because nothing good must be happening if you need me. No, it's good. Everything's good. Just want you to come to the bank and visit me. Colleen, please tell me what's going on. No, just come see me. Please, Colleen, tell me what's happening. We're going to have a baby. And I said, what any loving man would say, that's impossible. I can't have children. And if anybody knows Colleen, you would understand her answer. Well, we are having a baby, so it's more than possible. And when I hung up the phone, I turned to Clint and I said, Colleen just said we're having a baby. He goes, I thought you said you can't have children. And I said, I thought so too. And it was that moment. That was the miracle moment.
God gave you your miracle.
I buried that so deep because I wanted it as deep as possible so I could never feel it. And I was happy that I was blessed with Bridget, and Bridget was teaching me how to be a father. And I felt so good that she was in my life and they were in my life. And I was getting married and have what I wanted. But the Lord had one more surprise for me. And he was giving me a child. And I couldn't believe it, that he granted my wish, the deepest wish that I told no one. It was not me, it was him. And I knew it. I immediately knew. And it was really interesting because as Colleen got bigger and bigger, everybody would say, "You're having a boy. Oh, you're having a boy. It's a boy. It's high. It's low. It's this. It's that. Off the side." Whatever the thing is, you're having a boy. And I remember Bob saying to me once, "How come you're not saying anything?" And I said, "Bob, because it's going to be a girl." And he goes, "Why do you know?" And I said, "Because the Lord wouldn't grant me this miracle, this wish, and not finish it." So even though we had a boy name, I knew it was going to be Danielle Joy. Mm-hmm. And she came.
I remember.
So we got married, and then in January of 2010, Danielle Joy, my miracle, was born. So a man who was arrogant and foolish and thought he had the world had nothing. And the Lord gave me Colleen, Bridget, him, his grace, his love, and he made a promise and he gave me a miracle. And I just couldn't believe it. And you were the first one to be there when she was born. So, the tapping was starting to go away. My life was forever changed. It was very different than I saw it. Very, very different than I believed it was going to be. But I knew that the Lord was important, and he proved himself to me even though he didn't have to. Mm-hmm. He did it anyway, and he continues to do it all the time, because now I'm more sensitive to all those miracles that he shows me all the time, like all of you, like this church, like this pastor. All of this is a miracle. All of this is a miracle to me, and I'm greatly appreciative of what happened. And it's changed my life, completely changed it. But the why kept going. But something happened. I finally realized the answer. And it was in front of me all the time, which usually answers are. So when I gave speeches all the time where I would open up the speech about 9/11 by saying, "My name is Tony Lorenzo. I'm the husband to Colleen Bliss. I am a father to Bridget Nicole. I am a father to Danielle Joy. I'm a servant of the Lord, and I am a 9/11 survivor." That's the way I would start out my speeches. But it's the end of my speech when I talk about 9/11 that changes everything. Because the way I end my speech is the same way I started. but something has changed. Because I want to say it one more time for everybody to hear, but I want you to hear it differently. Because every blessing that I have, everything that's important to me, everything that means something to me, is that introduction. So please listen differently. Because all of those blessings happened since 9/11. Since that day. So my name is Tony Lorenzo, and I am the husband of Colleen Bliss. I am the father to Bridget Nicole. I am the father to Danielle Joy. I'm a servant of the Lord. I'm a brother to all of you here at Faith Baptist Church. And I am a 9/11 survivor. And all of that is because of the Lord's grace. And that's the why I was spared that day.
Tony, if there was one thing that you could leave us with, something that could come from your heart to the folks here by way of encouragement, to remind them that even in their crisis, God is still at work, what would you say to us tonight?
The first thing I would say is, if you feel tapping on your shoulder, in your heart, in your head, I want you to answer. I don't want you to wait. Here's the thing that I worried about, is I worried about answering because then my life would change. So I'm going to make it easy for anybody that's getting that tapping. Your life is going to change if you answer. It will change. I don't know how. I don't know in what time frame. You don't either. The Lord knows. He knows it's all slated. He has decided what's best for you, what your life is supposed to look like. You have to answer. You have to turn to the Lord and say, what? What do you want from me, Lord? I'm just a simple man. No riches, no fame, no power. But we've said many a times that Jesus didn't get an A-team when he got the apostles together.
That's right.
But he found ordinary men to do extraordinary things. So answer the tapping. Please answer the tapping. And the other thing is, if you're really new and just putting your finger or your toe in the pool and trying out this church thing, this Lord thing, take a step. I tell people now when I meet them that are lost, I go, take a step, a single step. Which way do I go? It doesn't matter. Take a step. If you're going the right direction, the Lord will guide you to the next step. If you're going the wrong way, the Lord will guide you to turn around and go the other way. He will guide you, but you have to start walking a single step at a time. And that's what I do every single day. That's what all of you do. And the people that need to start walking, take a step, please. I promise you, this is something that came to me a while back. I've never heard this phrase ever in my life. I've never heard somebody say to me, ever, you know, I decided to do it God's way, and boy, was that a mistake. Nobody's ever said that. No one. And it won't happen. My life is very different. Very different. And it's all, I had nothing to do with it. It was impossible for me to achieve what God achieved. Impossible. I go from a foolish, selfish, arrogant man who thinks he's got the world to an incredible wife and two daughters, a family here at Faith Baptist Church that I love. And anybody who'll ever talk to me at work or anywhere else, I let them know what I am and who I am.
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.